Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "My thoughts are not like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." We don't understand why God chooses to do things the way He does them. And sometimes, because God's ways are so beyond our ways, sometimes it seems as though they don't make sense. And we may not have all of the answers about what is happening right now in the world. But one thing I can tell you with certainty, I can tell you this: God is working all things for the good of those who love Him. That's the promise of Romans 8:28. And we can hold that promise in our hearts as believers in Christ, that no matter what is happening in the world, we can know that at the end of the day, when the dust settles and everything is done, God will work all things for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. There's a lot of fear in this world right now. But I tell you today that God is not the one who has given you the spirit of fear. God is not the one who has given you fear. The Bible says in 2 Timothy verse 1, chapter 1 verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So if God has not given you a spirit of fear, that means one thing: there is a spirit of fear, and someone else has given you that spirit of fear. The Bible says that we have an enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. For he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." You see, Satan wants to devour people with fear. He wants to use fear as a weapon to devour them and bring them to a place where they lose all hope. But you see, Satan roams around like a lion, but he is not the lion. For the Bible says that Jesus is the lion. He is the true lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Satan roams around like a lion, but he is a lion without teeth. And we do not have to fear him. If you want to be free from the spirit of fear, the Bible tells you how you can do it. James chapter 4 verse 7, it says, "Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." God loves this world. The Bible says that God gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What God does not love, what God hates, is sin. Proverbs 6 verse 16 through 19, says there are six things that the Lord hates, even seven that are disgusting to him. Arrogant eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill innocent people, a mind devising wicked plans, feet that are quick to do wrong, a dishonest witness spitting out lies, and a person who spreads conflict among relatives. You see, God loves people, but he doesn't love the things that people do when they do the wrong thing. Right now, what is happening in the world is God's way of telling the world, go to your room. Go to your room and think about the things that you have been doing. It's God's way of stopping the world. He has stopped everything that needs to be stopped, and he has caused everyone to take a moment of pause. The book of Psalms calls it Selah. It's a moment of reflection where we take time to examine ourselves. Isaiah 26, 20 and 21 says, go, my people, enter your rooms and shut the door behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until his wrath has passed by. See, the Lord is coming out of his dwelling to punish the people of the earth for their sins. The earth will disclose the blood shed on it, and the earth will conceal its slain no longer. But you see, God doesn't delight himself in punishing people. He doesn't delight himself in pouring out judgment on the earth. Joel 2 verse 13 says, don't tear your clothing in grief, but tear your hearts instead. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He's eager to relent and not punish. You see, God wants us to tear our hearts. He wants us to rend our hearts. He wants us to examine ourselves. This is a cry not for the unsaved or the Christians. It's for the entire planet. It is for all mankind to take a moment of reflection and search themselves and look at the things that we have been doing on this earth. 2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14 says that when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal the land. All God wants is for us to look up. All God wants is for us to acknowledge the things that we have done that are wrong and humble ourselves and say, God, I have sinned and I ask you to forgive me. Jesus is coming back for a bride. He's coming back for a bride without wrinkle or stain. What he wants to do is he wants to sanctify his people. He wants to prepare them for his return. That when he comes back for that bride, she would be holy and without blemish. We need to prepare our hearts, because the Bible says in Matthew 24, 36, no one knows the day or the hour. No one knows when the Lord will return for his bride. Jesus warned us. He gave us more than ample warnings in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 37 and 39. He said that when the Son of Man comes again, it will be exactly like the days of Noah. In the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and getting married until the day that Noah went into the ship. They were not aware of what was happening until the flood came and swept all of them away. That is how it will be when the Son of Man comes again. Jesus is coming back. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will be with the Lord forever." Jesus promised that he would come back for the church, and we, as the body of Christ, need to be ready for his return. And that's what this is all about. This is God's way of telling the church, wake up. Wake up, I'm coming back. And I need you to start looking inwardly and examining yourself and be ready to go. And the Lord showed me in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 11, how we as believers in Christ should live our lives. This is the instructions that Moses gave the people of Israel right before the Passover, right before the visitation of the angel that came through Egypt. Moses said to them, "This is how you are to eat it, the Passover meal, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." We have to be ready to go when he appears. We don't know when that will be. No man knows the day or the hour when the Lord will return. And we have to be prepared in our hearts to go with him. I know that with everything that's happening with the coronavirus, many are struggling with fear. Many are struggling with depression. Many are struggling with anxiety. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, that hope deferred makes the heart sick. When we defer something, when we put it off, when we withhold it, when we don't take advantage and embrace it at that moment, you see, when you don't embrace hope, it brings hopelessness. Hope for us as the believers. The Bible says that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. And this is a hope that anchors us, knowing that no matter what happens, we're going to go with Jesus. We're going to be with him. We have a hope that will always give us a security and a peace of mind. Don't be afraid. Over and over again, the Bible tells us, fear not. Isaiah 41:10 says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God." Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petitions, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You see, God has promised us an amazing peace. It's a supernatural peace. It's a peace that when we take the time to pray, when we take the time to humble our hearts, God has said, I will give you a peace that it will be a shield for your heart. It will be a helmet for your mind. We don't have to live with depression and anxiety and fear. I want to share a psalm that a dear friend shared with me this week recently. A friend's name is Pastor Danny Ramos, and he shared the psalm with me. It's at Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. And that psalm says, in peace I will lie down and sleep. For you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. You see that there is a rest that is found only in Christ. There's a security that is found only in Jesus. And if you take time today to turn to Christ, if you take time today to accept Jesus into your heart, God would allow you to experience the rest of God. The rest of God that will allow you to lie down and sleep and dwell in safety, knowing that the Lord has your back. Knowing that no matter what happens, God has me in the palm of His hand, and nothing will be able to take me out of it. Trust Christ, because Jesus alone is the God of miracles. Can we worship Him?
Sickness. it will yield to your name. Who was and is to come, the power of the risen one, the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. The God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
God of miracles, I believe in you.
I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. The God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
We believe in you, Lord.
I believe in you.
We put our trust in you, Jesus.
You're the God of miracles.
because we know that you hear us. We worship you, King of Kings.
If you'd never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I would be honored to usher you into the kingdom of heaven. Put your hand on your heart. Just pray this prayer with me. Father God, I take this moment to acknowledge that I need you and that I want a deeper relationship with you. I confess my sins. I confess that I believe that Jesus lived, he died, he was buried, and he resurrected on the third day, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. I receive by faith your gift of eternal life. And Lord God, I thank you for loving me enough to come find me. If you've prayed that prayer, then I want to encourage you. Find a Bible-believing church, Holy Spirit-filled church, where you can grow and have your faith nurtured. God bless you.